All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and joining me on this episode, I've got the neon icon, Justin Dier. Justin, how you doing?
Hey, hey, I'm good, hanging in there.
That's great, that's fantastic.
Getting ready for my show.
Yeah, fantastic. First question out of the chute, how did you get introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
Okay, so I got started pretty much, I saw Harley Race at the mall one day, and being a fan, you know, I didn't want to, like, you know, just walk up on him like, hey, I'm a fan, can I get a, you know, I didn't want to do that, so, but I ended up doing it anyway, and I knew he had a wrestling school in Missouri, and I'm from Missouri.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I asked him about the school and all of that stuff, and he was like, yeah, he got a school in Troy, Missouri. So I was like, okay, cool. At the time it was Lake Ozarks, and I went down there, and just one day I was working at Southwest, and I was tired of working like a regular job. Like, I was tired of working a 9-to-5, and I was like, you know what? You know, I don't have kids, you know, I can do whatever I want to. I'm that kind of person. I'm just like, you know what, I'm just go for it. And I moved down there to Lake Ozarks, didn't have a car, didn't have a job, didn't have nothing. We're just like barely even a backpack. And I was like, you know what, I'm just go down there to Lake Ozarks, try to get trained. And yeah, I went down there, started training with Harley, and he actually liked me. He was like, you sure you never wrestled before? And I'm like, yeah, I never wrestled before. He's like, yeah, man, join the board. He's like, yeah, you can do it. And yes, Harley was the guy that trained.
That's fantastic. Did you kind of feel any like pressure and things like that to be under the tutelage of his school, of an icon, of a legend?
Oh, man, yeah. Like, he made it hard. He didn't make it easy at all. Like, he ran me like crazy. Even when my first day, he had the school to the point where, like, he wanted to see people break. He would want to see you break to see if you will continue going or will you just quit. And
right.
There was a lot of people there that quit. Even when I was training, there's a lot of people that quit. Even dudes like in the Army, like, they go through all that Army training and then they come to professional wrestling, they quitting because they're like, this is too tough. And, yeah, he would have me do bumps like crazy. It's never natural to, like, fall on your back, run the ropes, all kind of crazy stuff. I remember he had me run the ropes one time, and he just left. And he was like, keep running, don't stop, and he left. I don't know where he went, but he came back in an hour. He came back within that hour and still seen me, like, running. And I was struggling, I'm not going to lie. But I still was running. And, hitting them ropes hard, trying to hit them as hard as I could, because I'm like, he might have like a camera somewhere or something. But yeah, he just puts you through like little tests like that to see if you will keep going or not. And I really appreciate him for that, because it was tough, man. It was tough. It was old school. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was gonna ask. He's still, because, you know, things have evolved with my understanding and all these interviews that I've done, is that he still kind of had that old school training, like,
yeah,
you said, where you were trying to see if you would bend but not break, like you mentioned.
Yep. No, he was super old school with it, even with like chops. He still got it, like, well, he still had it, God rest his soul. But he would chop, he would arm wrestle with you. Dude was a badass. Like, it's not too many people, especially older guys, that was out there that's like as tough as he was. He was super tough. Even in crutches, he was like, he's not afraid to fight, like, even in crutches. So it was like, it was amazing, man. It was one of the, I'm very, very, very grateful to be trained from under him. Like, I really am. I really am.
Yeah, that's awesome. So did you, so you mentioned that it was said that, you know, you sure you never wrestled before? Do you have a background in athletics of some sort?
Yeah, I mean, I did everything. I did soccer, I did tennis, I did amateur wrestling in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I even did golf. Like, I did literally everything, just except for basketball, which is crazy because basketball is my favorite sport, and it's the one sport I didn't play. I couldn't play because I was just trash. But if I had the mentality that I had now, I'm sure I probably could have. But it was just like, man, like, I don't know. I was really into football and wrestling because I wanted to use that amateur wrestling background to help me with this. Because even back then, I knew I wanted to be a professional wrestler, and I was like, I'm gonna just use this as like somewhat of a training to when I get there.
Yeah.
But I've literally did everything and got awards for it and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe you loved basketball too much that you respected it and you wanted not to
I don't want to be trash in it. Yeah. Like, man, you know what? I don't want to be trash. I'm already kind of short. I'm like, man, these tall dudes, they be just blocking my balls and stuff. I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Like, I play 2K a lot. I play, like, NBA 2K a lot. Like, if you look on my YouTube, I took it all down. But if you look on my YouTube, I got the games up and everything. I stream it. So it's like, I can play 2K. If anybody got PlayStation, I'm getting a new one. I'm getting all the systems. Like, I'll challenge anybody in 2K. Like, I'm not afraid. But real life basketball, man, I'm trash. I am straight trash.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when did you start your training? What year did you get going?
I started I don't know. My story's kind of crazy because when I went down there to Lake Ozarks, I was down there training with Harley. And I wasn't really done training because he ended up moving his school from Lake Ozarks to Troy, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, it was actually closer to my hometown, which is St. Louis. But when he did it, it was an hour away, and I didn't have a car. And when I was in Lake Ozarks, crazy story, I was, like, moving from home to home, like, hotel to hotel, old school, like, sleeping in the gym sometimes. Like, it was crazy. But it was easier to do that there. But when I was back at home, it was like, I'm at home. I don't have a car to drive it an hour every day to practice. So I ended up talking to a wrestler named Lucy Mendez, and she got me hooked up with Dynamo Pro Wrestling. And I started doing training with them also in between, like going to whenever I could get a ride, I would go to WLW. But, I was wrestling with Dynamo Pro Wrestling as well. And that was around 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was doing it around then. But it was like a little break in between where I went to Dynamo and then I would go back to WLW and kind of go back and forth, to be honest. So yeah. I was kind of trained at two schools.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you find out that there was different things that each school liked to focus on and help you with?
Yeah, honestly, I really did like the way Harley teached because it was super old school, and it was like he made me wish I was like born back in that era because everything was so tough and hardcore, and you couldn't be soft. And but at the other school, it was a lot easier. It was nice. They worked with people. If you had something, they'll work with you. And they had names too. Like the only reason, you know, when I first was looking up wrestling to start being a wrestler, I was skeptical on the Dynamo Pro Wrestling and stuff like that because it was like on the internet, it was like go to a credible school and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I went to the school, I was looking for names and stuff, and there was a guy named Jake Durden who wrestled in Japan, like a big old tall, husky, crazy looking guy. And I remember watching Japan Wrestling and Noah Pro Wrestling, and I saw him, and I was like, this dude's a beast. And when I saw him at the school, he's what sold me on it. I was like, you know what? I'm going there. I'm trying to learn because I always wanted to train in Japan and wrestle in Japan. So I was like, I want to learn from this dude. And he showed me the Japan style, how they roll and how they do different stuff. Cause I guess, you know, they do stuff different in each place. And, at Dynamo was more, moves. And I would say Harley was more old school submission holds, promos and stuff like that. So it was nice. To learn from both sides of the spectrum and from different people. And I mean, I just learned from a lot of people, so it's nice.
Yeah, and kind of at the same time where you were kind of getting both that to fill up your cup.
Yeah, for sure, because even like Harley, sometimes Harley would bring people from Japan, and we would learn stuff from Japan, and the way that they bump is like totally different, the way they have ropes, totally different. Same thing with like Some people who you would bring from Mexico to show us how to do things. They hit the ropes totally different. They don't really bump. They kind of roll. So it's a bunch of different styles. And everything they do, like, you know, sometimes we do stuff left hand. Sometimes they do it
right
in another place. They do it the right. Yeah. So it's different.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
great learning experience.
Yeah, true. So when you got started in your new training, how long was it till you got your first match, and who was your first match with?
It felt like a long time. Normally for people it would take like a year.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like it took 6 months because I was at wrestling practice at Dynamo, actually. And I was just there wrestling, and the hooligans came, and they were teaching us, you know, some stuff. And they asked everybody when we sat down and did like a seminar, they were like, why are you wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
And they asked everybody, a lot of people want to go to WWE. That's fine. That's cool. But for me, per se, it'd be nice if I go to WWE. That's a bonus. But for me, I just want to live comfortably wrestling. Like, if I can just make my money, not have to work, and just wrestle for a living, like, I'm happy. And I guess when I told them that, they liked the answer, and they was like, well, you're going on the road with us. And I was like, okay.
Oh.
And, yeah. I was like, okay. And, I travel with them, and, man, they are hooligans. They are real-life hooligans. They break stuff, steal stuff, tear up the building, like, everything. Like, it's crazy. And my first match was with them. It was the Hooligans and the Viking War Party. We were all in the car together, traveling, but for some reason Jake Parnell couldn't come. But his gear was still in the car. I wasn't booked to wrestle. I just went to wrestle. That's why I tell every green person, like, if you don't have a wrestling match and you don't have nothing to do that day, still go to shows because you can get booked.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went there just to go, and Jay couldn't make it, so I was in the car, and they was like, hey, we need a guy, you mind wrestling? I'm like, yeah. But the Hooligans was like, yeah, you'll be wrestling us. And they was like, hey, instead of wrestling in your gear, I dare you to put on Jake Parnell gear. And I was like, what? And they was like, yeah, go ahead and do it. And they dared me to do it, and I'm a kind of person where, like, don't dare me because I'm going to do it. And I wrestled in Jake Parnell's gear. I was Jake Parnell for a day. And I know he was called the Littlest Viking at that time. And to that day, I was the Blackest Viking. So I was like, all right, let's do it. And, I was wrestling in his gear, which I'm never going to do again because he didn't. But like, I was getting wedgies and everything. I was like, I can't. It was hard, but I did it, and it was fun. The crowd was laughing at me because I kept getting wedgies, and like half of my booty cheek was out. But it was my first experience. It was fun. I loved it, and I appreciate those dudes for that because they got me out of there. They put me on the road. They was like, you're a good wrestler. You just need the experience now. So, yeah, they start giving me an experience and put me on the road with them.
Well, that sounds like that was a fantastic experience, and it sounds like you had a lot of fun, and that's kind of what it should be, right?
Exactly. That's what wrestling should be. And some people take it too serious, or they think that, like, wrestling owes them something.
Yeah.
And it don't, man. Just have fun, because life's short, so it's like just enjoy what you do with the time that you have, because we don't know what you can do next. So just do whatever you want to do with life and just have fun. So I'm all about having fun and partying and having a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, and speaking of having fun, how did the Neon Icon come to be?
I was at a club, and I was at a club with a guy named Outkast, and at that time, I still was, like, thinking of wrestling gimmicks. Mm-hmm. And I was coming up with different stuff, but nothing was really sticking. And, it was a girl who just had some light-up shoes on, like, at the club, like a big old kid. And I'm just dancing, but she was, like, a legit dancer. And I was like, that's dope. And I was like, you know what? There's a wrestler out there that wrestles in, like, LED lights and stuff. I'm going to do that. And Yeah, he was like, bro, if you did that, that would be dope.
Yeah.
And the next day I had the, well, not the next day, but whenever I like bought all the stuff, I had the LED lights. I bought LED lights, like I had shoulder pads or whatever. And like I borrowed some football shoulder pads from a homeboy that used to play football, and I put like LED lights on that. I like ripped my gear up and threw some lights on that. And I was like, this is what I'm doing. And yeah, my first time doing it, man, I got laughed out the building. I was like, what in the hell is this dude wrestling with lights on? Man, they got me. But I didn't let that turn me down. I was like, you know what? Nobody's doing it. I'm still doing it. I'm going to do it. And I was doing it. But I was known as the guy that wrestled in Christmas lights until I guess one day it sticked, and I started getting merchandise and all that stuff to make extra money. And yeah, after that, kids started wearing the glasses and everything, and yeah, it stuck, and I started making money off of it. So after that, I was like, I don't care, you know, what people say, because I'm making money off of it. But then it was like, now it's a good thing, and people started like liking it. And once I got the shoes, they were like, dude, that's dope. And I sell the shoes. I mean, honestly, I sell anything. Like if you want it, I could probably make it, and with LED lights or whatever. Like I made that like a side business or somewhat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But
Yeah,
yeah.
because I know the first time I saw you and I saw you this, and I was like, wow, this is a great presentation. This is great. A
Yeah.
great entrance, a great look. I was just like, I was kind of enamored, and I was like, wow. And then, of course, you backed it up in the ring too. So, you
Yeah,
know.
yeah. See, and
Yeah, go ahead.
that all starts. You say what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that all starts with training, because
Yeah.
when I first started, it was bad. I mean, it was like, okay, I've got these lights on, and you know, people was making fun of me about it. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this more than just wrestling. I'm going to make this event, person with LED balls that spin them. When before I come out, I'm gonna have a girl with like LED wings
Yeah.
that twirl her wings before I go out or something like that. And I tried to make it like a presentation of boom, there I am. This is who I am. And honestly, once I did that, then I felt like that's when it stuck, because it was like, whoa, it had you memorized for my interest. And I would switch it up all the time because I love the interest coming out in my interest. And yeah, like you said, it's just a bone, because the fans already like me when I'm out there. And when they see me wrestle, they're like, wow, he's actually good. So I love it, man. I found the gimmick that stuck, and I mean, people like it.
How did you find what kind of when it came to your to your lighting, your LEDs and all that stuff like that, and actually being able to wrestle with them? What did you find out that worked? What didn't work? What you had to tweak? All that kind of
Oh,
stuff. And
man.
I know you said football pads, and I've also think I've seen you in a like a motocross
Yeah.
a vest and that kind of stuff, and so you've kind of done a little bit of everything. So what kind of things, like I said, done, found out, and all that kind of jazz?
Like I have to experiment a lot, and obviously it costs a lot of money,
Right.
especially like wrestling in the gear. And yeah, I spent a lot of money on the shoes. The shoes wear out a lot,
I
like they
bet.
break a lot. So I have to keep replacing those. The jacket, for the most part, knock on wood, is still good since I got it. It messes up sometimes. Like sometimes I'll be ready for a show. I test it to make sure it's good. I'm like, okay, it's good. I go out there, I push the button, and it don't work. I'm
Oh,
like, oh my
shoot.
God. So I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, dang, dog. Like that. Now, all right, take this jacket off. But yeah, like okay, so a lot of people see me with like little strings hanging from my pants or whatever.
Yeah.
I got those out of like, nobody knows this, but it's like really, it's like shoestrings, and I just put lights on the shoestrings so
Oh.
it can like dangle and stuff. Yeah, so it's like I don't know. I experiment with how I make stuff and how I do it, and yeah, that's one of the things that I actually sell on like Amazon and stuff, because for some reason people like shoestrings more than anything. So it's like I go ahead and I try with those, the shoes, gear, everything. Like, I had glasses. That's my problem. I have a real big problem of, like, leaving my gear at a show.
Oh.
And, or if I put it down, people take it. Like,
yeah.
I put it down, like, at the edge of the ring, people will straight take it. So I've had so much of my gear cooking and, like, I misplaced it or something like that. And it's like, golly, that was a bunch of money and a bunch of hours of my time that I just kind of, like, wasted. But, I mean, hey, you never know. When that happens, I'm like, okay, well, I just got to upgrade. I just got to figure something else out.
Yeah, true.
And that's what I'm about. But,
yeah,
man, it's a challenge, though, man. It really is. Like, it's a real challenge trying to keep those lights on sometimes.
Yeah. Well, switching back to the wrestling a little bit, so far in your career, who has been, like, your favorite opponent or opponents to work with?
My favorite opponents, honestly, is Mike and Matt Sydal. Both of those guys they are so dope. Like, I love wrestling them. I love wrestling people who just let me do whatever I want to do because then it's fun. Like, but I have some people, like in Missouri, is a guy named Mike Outlaw. I wrestle him, and me and him just go out there and we just fight. We don't talk. We don't do nothing. We don't even see each other sometimes. We just be like, oh, I'm wrestling you. Okay, cool. And then we see each other at the entrance and we just fight. And I love doing that sometimes. The whole Memphis style, like, I love it. And even though, you know, I do both, you know. But I would say Mike and Matt Sydal, both my favorite matches. And it sucks because I don't really have them recorded like that. So it's something like, and it sucks because it's like my best matches don't even get recorded like that sometimes. So it's like, man, I really got to, like, I start putting my camera out there and recording my matches. But yeah, those two are my favorite matches.
Yeah, well, those I've seen. Of course, I know Matt. Of course, a lot of people should know Matt, and I've seen Mike, of course, a lot of times because he, you know, comes here a lot. You know, one of the longest reigning champions, for example, in Lucha Libre Laughs history. So, you know, I've seen him a lot.
I gotta show up, and I gotta go ahead and take that from him. I gotta get another match with him. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Okay, so what about before we get into maybe the present, what about the future? Who would you know, you said you need to get in another match with Mike Sydal, but what about the future? Who would you like to get into the ring with? And this can be anybody, anyhow, anytime, you know, you can name it can happen.
If I could, with anybody, it would be, I don't know, that's a tough one. I think, so I already wrestled ACH, but I want to do it again, because when I wrestled them, I ended up, torn ACL and MCL, and my dumb ass was still out there wrestling. And I was in Texas, and he saw me there, and he was like, because I used to travel on the road with him as well. And he saw me at the show, and he was like, dude, are you working? And I was like, nah. And he was like, bro, we getting you on the show. And I was like, okay, cool. And same thing. Promoter was like, okay, you wrestle him. And I was like, man, I wanted to wrestle, but he wanted to do so much stuff. I'm like, bro, like I have a torn ACL and MCL. I really shouldn't even be wrestling. I was stupid for doing it. And it was okay. It was a decent could turn the roof off the place. Like, anybody that's down to do some acrobatic, crazy, off the wall stuff, like, I want to work with you. Like, I want to work with them. I love doing stuff that nobody's ever seen before. I love experimenting with stuff. I love just going out there and putting everything out there. That's the kind of wrestler that I am. And if I could find another opponent that's willing to do stuff like that, I want to work. Like, I'll work anybody. I'm not like a selfish worker, or like, I'm not a guy that's gonna see a green person like, oh no, I'm not working them. Like, I'm not that person. I want to work you. I want to work as many wrestlers as I possibly can, and because you can learn from every single experience that you have.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to work everybody. But if I could have any match, I want to go against ACH again. because I like it was good. Like, it was a good match already with a torn ACL and MCL. But I know me and him can go out there and just kill it again. I know we can.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that sounds like a fantastic reason, just so that you can, you know, make it even better.
Yeah, because I mean, I told him I had that torn ACL and MCL, and he was cool with it. We still was wrestling, but man, when we was out there, we was hitting each other back and forth, it started kind of turning into somewhat of a real shoot fight, but like, I don't know, it was crazy, it was dope, but. Yeah, if I can get that again, man, I'd be cool with that. Or if I could wrestle one of the Sydals, like if anything, that's probably. I mean, I could do both, but
yeah,
if I could get that going, I would love that.
Yeah, I mean, just knowing you, and then knowing Mike so well, I could see both. Like you said, any crazy acrobatic stuff. I mean,
yeah,
they're both capable, especially. You know, like I said, especially since I just know Mike so well. But yeah, definitely, I could see that.
Yeah, those are the guys. And hey, if I can wrestle somebody with a championship, I'm down for that too. I'm trying to win some championships while I'm in Colorado. That's for sure.
That's that's a fantastic segue, because this upcoming Saturday. You are in a match for it's the Primos Premier Pro Wrestling's Slave to the Death Match event, and you're in the a triple way for the 303 championship against Chongo Bronson and Big Guns Justin Andrews. So your thoughts about going into the match, and you gonna come away with that championship?
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm going to try to. Because, I mean, those guys are, like, tough opponents, man. Big Gun, he's always in the gym. That dude's always at wrestling practice, always at the gym, always hustling. He's, like, one of the biggest hustlers I've seen in Colorado that's just, like, always on it. And same thing with Chongo. Like, Chongo's the same way. He's scary, though. Like, he's legit scary. That dude's, like, real-life psycho. Like, every time I see him, he looks different. He's doing something different. Sometimes I just watch people in the back, and I just watch him sometimes, and I'm like, this dude's real crazy. Like, he's real life crazy. So it's like, I want to wrestle him, because I know, like, I want to do so much. And he cut a promo yesterday, and I saw it, and I'm like, this dude, man, that dude's crazy. So I was like, dude, I can't wait to do that match. But man, I want that championship so bad, because I moved to Colorado. Like, I ended up moving here. This will be like my fourth month here.
Okay.
And I moved here because I was here for a wrestling match, and I was wrestling and my car broke down. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just stay here. So that was where my mind was. I'm like, I'm gonna just stay here, and I'm gonna try to win as many championships as I can while I'm here. And I haven't been able to do that because of Corona. So it's like, man, like, once this stuff start building up and I see wrestling start hitting Colorado, like, building up again, I'm like, okay, cool. Now I'm going to start getting out there. Now I'm going to start getting my name back out there, start wrestling and getting these championships. I got to start collecting them. So there's like that. That's my goal while I'm in Colorado, is to win as many championships in this place as I can. That's my goal. And I don't care who has it. I don't care if Chongo has it. I don't care if Big Gun has it. Mike, Matt, anybody. I don't care who has a championship. I am coming after you. I am coming for the championship. I am going to win it, because that is my goal while I'm here.
That sounds great. It sounds like a fantastic plan. I want to take just one step back just a little second. So, you know, you said you moved to Colorado. So what, how did you get your eye focused on coming out here and, you know, getting your name in the area? You know, I know I've seen you in quite a few different promotions, companies. So how did you get your eye on to first come out here and decide to dip your toe out here?
Rolling with the Hooligans.
Okay.
Yeah, I was with the Hooligans, and we traveled all around the world because of them. Like, because of them, I traveled. I've hit every single state, like, in the U.S., like, because of them. And one of them was college. And that was one of my goals as a wrestler, was to literally wrestle in every single state. So I was like, okay, if I can wrestle in the state, I'm doing it. And Colorado was one of them. And I wrestled in Primos, and I just love the environment. Like, I love the promoter. I love the people that wrestle there. It's kind of like a family. Like, they all love each other. And it's like, okay, this is where I want to wrestle. And when I wrestled there, it was dope. It was like, okay, cool. This is where I can do. And then they have a balcony. And I was like, man, I always want to jump off this balcony. I'm going to wrestle there, man, so I can jump off this balcony. And yeah, ever since then, I've been like, I continue to go there. But I've wrestled for all of them. Like, Lucha Libre and Labs, I wrestled there. I had one of my funnest matches there. I wrestled Rocky Mountain Pro. I wrestled CSW. I wrestled almost all the promotions. And
I think you've done New Era as well.
Yeah. I did New Era as well. Like, yeah. I actually love that venue. That venue's dope.
Yeah.
And because I'm big into comic books and, like, watching stuff and, like, anime and all that stuff. So, man, when I walked in there, dude, it was heaven. So, I want to go back there. Like, I really want to go back there and wrestle there again. Like, I love being there. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, the talent in Colorado is really good. They always bring in great wrestlers. And, yeah, I like the Colorado scene. I really do.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. All right. Well, Justin, I think that might be a fantastic place to wrap this up. But before I do let you go, if people wanted to follow up with you on the social medias, and then you also mentioned challenge you out there on the NBA 2K, what's your gamer tag?
Hey, it is Justin Dier on everything. My is so simple. It's my wrestling name. If you go on YouTube, you go on Snapchat, you go on Instagram, you go on Xbox Live, PlayStation, you do it all. If you put in Justin Dier, I'm going to be there. It's going to be mine. So it's Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N-D, Air. It's exactly how it's spelled. Justin Dier, and that's it.
That's awesome. All right. Fantastic. All right. Well, once again, thank you for coming on, and I guess I will be seeing you this weekend there at Primos.
Yep, I'll be there at Primos winning the championship. That's what I'm trying to do. I'll see you there.
Once again, a big, huge thank you to the Neon Icon, Justin Dier, for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and introducing himself to all of our listeners. All right, well, let's get right into it and do the weekend review of what I got to attend and experience when it comes to the wrestling scene. And that was Rocky Mountain Pro's Return of Charged from the Romero's Canine Club and Tap House up in Lafayette, Colorado. A great event, very cohesive, especially since if you guys were not there in person or watching on their Twitch stream, which is a subscriber only for these live events when it comes to Rocky Mountain Pro, it was very cohesive and it made a lot of sense even in person. So it's going to be even, in my opinion, it's going to be more fantastic once these episodes get cut and edited and all the intro and outro segments and all that stuff gets added to this. So it's going to be wonderful to see this all happening once again, in my opinion, for Rocky Mountain Pro. But let's turn the calendar over and look at what we got coming up this weekend. And that is, we've got quite a few events. We've got a full weekend. So we got Primos Chopping Block presents Jake Shannon's Shoot Pro Wrestling, and that's coming from the Watering Bowl in Denver, Colorado. The event, as far as I know, is totally sold out. So if you don't have tickets and probably want to view this, maybe check to see if there's going to be some streams available through Primos's Facebook page and all that stuff like that. So you should be able to catch that. So it's going to be fun. Kind of totally different. And this is part of Primos's Slave to the Death match weekend, because then on Saturday, we've got Primos's Slave to the Death match number 11, the 11th annual Slave to the Death match from the Watering Bowl. And this also, too, is sold out. You know, just part of the way the world is working right now with limited capacity guidelines. So if you guys do not have tickets to this, though, you can. And I would tell you guys, even if you are attending in person, purchase this anyways, because this is something near and dear to my heart. And that is, this is going to be on the Fight TV platform. So you guys can get this to view it and get replays of it, even if you are going to be there in attendance. So that's great. Quick thing, though, if you go to on Twitter, What's on Fight, my other podcast that I do, that we need to relaunch, mainly because of this, probably, which would be good. You can get a there's a promo code pinned to the top of our page there. So that would be great if you guys could take advantage of that. We would greatly appreciate that. All right. And then Sunday, we've got not one but two shows for Respect Women's Wrestling at the Oriental Theater. There's a 6 o'clock show and an 8 o'clock show. As far as I know, tickets are still available for that. So if you want to get tickets to that, head over to the Oriental Theater's website. That's theorientaltheater.com. And you can choose from either or both of those shows. And as always, these shows should be different shows for each one of those events. So it's going to be great to see all those women back in action there. So I would just suggest and ask you guys to please attend. All right. Well, before we get out of here, if you guys do like this show, check out our friends on the Trending Topics Network. You'll catch other great shows such as the previously mentioned What's on Fight, hopefully soonly going to be returning. Also, I've got All Beer Inside, Old School at the Movies, the Eurovision Showcase, and Wrestling Cheers. If you want to get in contact with this show, WrestlingWithAltitude.com is the website. Podcast at WrestlingWithAltitude.com is the email address. On Facebook at Facebook.com/WrestlingWithAltitude, of course. And then Twitter, the handle of WrestleAltitude. And always, thank you all for listening, supporting, and having fun wrestling with Altitude.